You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Welcome back to our five-part series this week about the Reiner case, but more importantly, about life with someone like Nick. Because this is a case that's hit home for so many of us. So many of us still trying to put the pieces together in your mind, and sometimes it's a lifelong process because the chaos is so discombobulated. It's like a 1,000-piece puzzle that's been shaken up. Some of the pieces have been removed and thrown out, and you're like, all right, this is going to take a little while. Eventually, you get a good chunk together, and you're feeling good, but there's still, every once in a while, there's still some pieces. You're like, oh, wow, okay. And a piece of that puzzle, a piece that when you look back on your own life, if you're someone who loved someone with an affliction like Nick's, whether it be addiction, whether it be a mental illness, whether it be a personality disorder, and you sat there and you tried your damnedest to be a supporter, to be someone who cared, to be someone who was going to be there and help them through it every which way until it was either going to kill you or them, or you were going to have to get the hell out of there before it took you. You know the word denial. Because that's what keeps us there for a while. And denial isn't stupidity, it's survival. It's why forgiving yourself for it is the only way forward. Because you knew somewhere underneath all of the hoping and trying and the one more chances, you knew. You saw the patterns, you recognized the cycle, you understood. On some level, it was hard to visit that reality very often. But you knew that this wasn't going to end well. And you stayed anyway. I get it. It's not because you were stupid. It's not because you couldn't see what everyone else saw. And in a lot of cases, no one saw anything. Because so many of them are so good at putting the mask on that you look like the crazy person going, here's what's happening behind the curtain. Well, I never saw that. Yeah, there's a reason. I'm really good at masking insanity around me to basically soften the blow for others. But because the truth was unsurvivable, the truth that the person you loved was already gone, that nothing you did was going to bring them back, that all your sacrifice and devotion and sleepless nights weren't moving the needle even slightly, that truth would have broken you. So you built a different story, a story where this time it would be different, where the signs didn't mean what they obviously meant, where love could still fix what love had never been equipped to fix. You lied to yourself. And no, love doesn't fix everything. As lovely as a line that is in movies and all that bullshit, you can't love someone out of mental illness. You can't love someone out of addiction. You can't love someone out of a personality disorder. You need to love yourself enough to do what's right for you to survive. You lied to yourself. And here's the part that nobody's going to tell you. You had to. Because the alternative was staring into an abyss so deep you might never have climbed out. And if there's kids involved, you were there. because you had to be. You weren't just going to be like, well, good luck. 50% of the time you get to go with crazy. And then we'll do normal over here. Or healthy over here. No, you stick around through that shit show. Because you become the bumper. You become the padding on the wall. Here's the deal. Bumpers and padding wear out eventually. And the shit that keeps hitting him, the pinball, if you will. If you think of a pinball, I know this is kind of an older reference, but I think everyone, for the most part, is familiar with pinball. You know the bumpers on pinball? The rubber that strikes the ball when it hits the side? It's a bumper. Over time, pinball tables, that rubber, it gets brittle. It gets worn out. It gets hit too many times. And it breaks. And it's gone. You know what doesn't happen? That pinball that keeps hitting it, it's still a ball. It doesn't break. It doesn't get brittle. It just keeps going. There's no real destroying it. There's no stopping it. But you are not the ball. You're the bumper. And you think for the first however long, oh, I can do this, I can handle this, until it's like, I'm getting really brittle, I'm getting really broken, and I'm going to snap at some point here. And either that happens, and it's the end of you, or whatever's hitting you needs to stop. And you need to remove yourself from the situation. But at that time, the alternative was admitting in real time that you were powerless, that the person standing in front of you was beyond your reach, that every dollar spent and every boundary erased and every night spent worrying had accomplished exactly nothing. It's a lot of work for not a lot of payback. And it's exhausting. It's not a truth most people can metabolize while they're living through it. So the brain does what the brain does. It constructs a workaround, a narrative that lets you keep functioning. A set of lies that feel like hope. This isn't about shame. This isn't about cataloging your failures so you can beat yourself up more efficiently. We've already done that, haven't we? This is about understanding why you believed what you believed and forgiving yourself for it and understanding this so you don't do it again. Rob and Michelle Reiner weren't naive people. Rob directed films for 4 decades. He understood story structure, character motivation, the way narratives telegraph their endings. He knew how to read a room and how to see where a plot was heading. Michelle was a photographer, a producer, a woman who'd navigated Hollywood for 30 years. These were not people who got fooled easily, and yet they built frameworks, sophisticated, evolving frameworks that allowed them to stay close to a son who was destroying them. First, trust the professionals, the counselors, said Nick was manipulating them. So they held the line. Then, professionals are wrong. Nick convinced them the doctors were the real problem, so they shifted. Then, redemption through art. They made a movie together, did a press tour about healing. Believe the narrative they were telling the world. Then he just needs more support. A guest house on the property, closer supervision, more chances. Each framework was internally consistent. Each one had its own logic, its own evidence, its own reasons for existing, and each one kept them in the room with someone who would eventually be charged with killing them. That is not stupidity. That is survival. The human mind constructing scaffolding to make an impossible situation bearable. The first lie most people tell themselves is, this time it's different. It's the most durable lie there is. The one that resets after every relapse, every broken promise, every piece of evidence that nothing has changed. You think the pattern will become undeniable after the 5th time, the 10th time, the 18th time. But the lie adapts. It finds new reasons to believe. Maybe this rehab has a different approach. Maybe this medication will finally work. Maybe hitting this particular bottom will be the one that wakes them up. The variables change just enough to let you believe the outcome might change too. The Reiners gave Nick 18 chances in treatment facilities alone. Each time, I suspect, the narrative reset. New program, new philosophy, new hope, and each time the hope collapsed and the lie didn't die, it just evolved. Okay, that approach didn't work, but this one might. This time it's different, right? Here's what that lie is actually protecting you from. The possibility that no time will be different. The person you love is locked in a pattern that your intervention cannot break. That you're not the variable that matters. Accepting that would mean accepting powerlessness. And powerlessness is intolerable when someone you love is drowning. So you keep believing that the next attempt might work because believing that is the only way to keep breathing. The second lie is nobody understands them like I do. This one's seductive because it makes you essential. If only you can reach them. If your unique bond, your specific history, your particular love is the thing that might finally break through, then your suffering has meaning. You're not just a bystander getting destroyed by someone else's chaos. You're a necessary part of the solution. The last line of defense, the one person who might actually save them. You've seen it in movies, right? Robin Michelle dismissed the counselors who called Nick manipulative. They rejected the professionals who spent years studying addiction and behavioral patterns because they knew their son. They understood him in ways these strangers with diplomas couldn't possibly grasp, they would tell themselves. The experts saw a manipulator. They saw a scared kid who needed his parents to believe in him. That's what they were telling themselves. And both things might have had an element of truth, but the lie, the part that kept them tethered, was a belief that their understanding was the thing that would make the difference, that their love had access to something the clinicians couldn't reach. It didn't. And that's not because their love wasn't real or their understanding wasn't deep. It's because love and understanding by themselves cannot fix what's broken in another person. The lie that says otherwise keeps you invested in a rescue mission that was never yours to complete. If you think you are the key to Pandora's box, and you think that that's a keyhole right there, and you are the key, you are extremely mistaken as for what you're dealing with. You might as well be a banana or an orange. Have you ever opened a door with an orange? Have you ever opened a door with by jamming a banana into a lock? No. Of course, because those things don't open doors. You're not the key. You're just another piece of fruit in their life. Another thing for them to consume. You're not accurately identifying your role in that person's life. You want to keep telling yourself, you're the key. I can help this. Start identifying what you actually are, and that's not a key to anyone's salvation, safety, or common sense. You're not, as much as you'd like to be. That is not who you are. That's not who anybody is. Because the only person with the key is that person. Nobody else around them. The only person responsible for that person's happiness, well-being, and future is that person, is the addict, is the mentally ill person, is the personality disordered person, is the whatever person. It ain't you. It's not somebody else. It's not a counselor. It's not this. It's not that. It's them. You can help with the environment. You can help with tools, but ultimately they have to make the choice. And if they don't, well, eventually you're just going to be spoiled fruit on the counter, or you'll be consumed by them. neither of which involves you being the key to fixing them. The third lie that we tell ourselves is they didn't mean it. This is the minimization lie, the one that reframes every act of cruelty, every betrayal, every violation as a symptom rather than a choice. They didn't mean to steal from you. That was the addiction talking. No, that was them. That was them talking. They didn't mean to destroy their property, your property. No, that that was the psychosis. No, that was them. They didn't mean those terrible things they said. That was the disease, not the person. No, it was them. You may not want to accept that that person is capable of these horrible actions because that's not how you raised them, or that's not the person you married, or that's not insert whatever line of bullshit you tell yourself. And I know I'm sounding a little harsh here, but I'm harsh on myself. I mean, you got to come to the grip here of we tell ourselves a lot of bullshit to get through this stuff. And it is exactly that. It's not reasoning. It's not explanations. It's not a path forward. It's bullshit. Dressed up as something else so we can survive another day in the wake of these type of shit shows like Nick Reiner. Nick Reiner destroyed his parents' guest house during a drug binge. He stole Oxycontin from a sick elderly woman who needed it. He admitted on a podcast to gaming every rehab he'd ever been in, staying sober just enough to get out and then going right back to using. He told his parents the professionals were wrong, convinced his father to make a movie portraying himself as the villain for trying to get his son help. You know the story. And still, I suspect the narrative remained. He's not bad, he's sick. He didn't mean it. Here's what that lie protects you from. The possibility that they did mean it. That somewhere inside the person you love, there are choices being made, calculations being run, manipulations being executed. The disease is real. The mental illness is real. But the person isn't gone. They're still there making decisions, and some of those decisions are cruel. Accepting that would mean accepting that the person you love is capable of hurting you on purpose, that their attacks aren't symptoms to be treated, but choices to be held accountable. And if that's true, the whole framework of they can't help it collapses. So you keep believing they didn't mean it because the alternative is way too painful to integrate. If you'd like to survive, you better start doing some integration of it. The fourth lie is, if I stop, I'm the bad one. This is guilt inversion. The belief that your limits are the problem, that your boundaries are cruelty, that your self-preservation is abandonment. The person you love has trained you, or you've trained yourself, to see every act of self-protection as a betrayal of them. The Reiners took Nick back after every catastrophe because I suspect the alternative felt like giving up on their own child. Every time they considered stepping back, the guilt must have been overwhelming. What kind of parents cut their son off? What kind of people walk away when someone they love is suffering? The answer? The one the lie won't let you see is. The kind who want to survive are. The kind who recognize that their destruction isn't helping anyone. The kind who understand that sometimes the most loving thing you can do is stop being the cushion, the bumper that prevents the fall. But it is almost impossible to accept when you're in it. So you stay. You keep absorbing the chaos. You keep erasing the boundaries. And you tell yourself that this is what good people do. They don't give up. Meanwhile, the person you're not giving up on has learned that there are no real consequences, that every line will eventually be erased, that your guilt is a resource they can mine indefinitely. Giant, it's like a giant pickaxe. Just, hi, how can I help? Boom! That hurt. Boom! Would you stop that? Boom! This is not, why are you doing this? Boom, until eventually there's none of you left. They've mined the shit out of you. These lies, this time is different. Nobody understands them like I do. They didn't mean it. I'm the bad one if I step. They aren't character flaws. They're survival mechanisms. They're the stories your brain constructed to let you keep functioning in a situation that would otherwise have been unbearable. And here's the thing I need you to understand. You weren't stupid for believing them. You were surviving. The lies you told yourself served a purpose. They kept you breathing in rooms where the oxygen was gone. They gave you something to hold on to when the truth would have pulled you under. They let you get out of bed each morning and face another day of loving someone who was slowly destroying everything around them, including you. That is not weakness. That's adaption. That's a human being doing what human beings do when reality becomes unsurvivable, constructing a version of reality that can be survived. The question isn't, how could I have been so blind? The question is, what was I protecting myself from seeing? And the answer usually is this, that there was nothing you could do. That your love wasn't enough, that the ending was coming regardless of how hard you tried, that you were powerless, completely, utterly powerless to save someone who wasn't interested in being saved. That's a brutal math. That's a truth that can flatten you if you're not ready for it. And you weren't ready for it. You couldn't be ready for it. So you built lies instead, and the lies kept you standing. Robin Michelle Reiner probably knew underneath everything, underneath the rehabs and the guest house and the movie and the press tours, they probably knew. You could hear it in Rob's voice at that Christmas party. I'm petrified of my son. I think he could hurt me. It's not a man in full denial. That's a man who sees the truth and is trying to survive it anyway. It's a person who's been mined of all of his resources of love and caring, and there's just a little pile left over here that hasn't yet been completely chipped away. But he's realizing the once great mountain of love and caring somehow doesn't exist anymore. How did that happen? It's been stolen. Knowing and accepting are two different things. You can know something in your bones and still not be able to act on it, because acting on it would mean letting go of the last shred of hope that makes your world bearable. The Reiners knew, and they stayed anyway, because acceptance would have meant letting go, and letting go felt like death. So here's what I need to tell you. Here's what I need you to do. Forgive yourself for the lies. Not because you were right to believe them, not because they were true, but because they were the tools you had. They were the scaffolding that kept your world from collapsing while you were living through something that should have collapsed it. You don't have to defend your denial. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to justify every decision you made while you were deep in the fog of loving someone who was destroying you. You don't have to apologize for standing up to someone who was destroying you. Somehow they've hijacked the narrative in your mind that you actually say, well, I feel bad about doing. You do. And it's like, what the? And once you step back far enough, you're like, what was I thinking? It's okay. You just have to recognize it for what it was. A survival mechanism. A way of coping with the uncopable. A set of stories that kept you alive long enough to get there. And now you're here. Now that you can see the lies for what they were, you can start telling yourself a different story. You start seeing reality on reality's terms. And that reality is a story where you're not the one who failed, where your love was real, even if it wasn't enough, because there was never enough. No one can give enough, because love was not the answer. Love was not the key. Were your years of trying meant something, even if they didn't change and that outcome stayed the same? Where you can forgive yourself for being or believing impossible things because believing them was the only way to survive. The Reiners believed until the very end that their love could save their son, and maybe that belief is what kept them in the room where they died. Or maybe it's just what let them keep breathing long enough to get to that final night. Either way, they weren't fools. They were parents who needed to believe in something. And the lies they told themselves were the price of admission to staying in the room with someone they loved. If you ever needed to believe something that wasn't true just to survive another day, you're not a fool either. You're a survivor. And the lies you told yourself were the only tools you had. Forgive them, forgive yourself, and start telling a different story. Your thoughts in the comment section, either on YouTube or Substack. The links are in the description. As we've been finding on this specific topic and these specific stories, we're reaching a lot of people in ways that go far beyond following the Nick Reiner story. We're taking these situations and using them to self-reflect in our own lives. And through that chaos, heal. If you're finding it valuable in that way, we'd love to hear your story. And thank you to so many of you who have shared your stories. I've really been blown away at what some of you have been telling me and how this has affected you. I'm happy we can be a part of your life, and you can be a part of ours. So please do share. We'd love to hear it. We do read the comments. And we'll continue this conversation there. There's another part in our series tomorrow about it. We'll be dropping that on Friday. Or whenever you're looking at this or reading this, or if it's beyond the week we dropped it, well, guess what? You got 5 videos on this topic. You got far more, actually. But in this series, you can binge away on right now. If this is feeling good to you, it's feeling cathartic, go check them out. They're all here on the channel. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching us so you don't miss any of it. Until next time, my name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like blackjack, wanted, dead or wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like blackjack, wanted, dead or wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.